When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world, who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, His plan that was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ.
Thank you. Good morning. It's really exciting for me to be up here. And, you know, I was really quite excited, and I thought I went to bed early last night, and thought, well, I'll bounce out of bed around 7, get into Pacific, and just sort of get ready for the morning. And I jump up out of bed, it's like 6:45 already, and I'm like still tired, and I'm like, oh, let's go. I rush. I jump into the car, and then it's 6:45. I'm like, 6:45, how does this work? But then you don't know Ian, who somewhere along the way yesterday thought he would be funny. So, you won't get any Black Forest cake. That's just the way it is. This passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, is a beautiful passage, and we need to hear it today. And I'm going to do this message a little bit backwards, because I'm going to end with the application. I begin with sort of the punch of the application, and then work myself to the meat of the message, then come right back to it, because it's critical. And it's critical for us to sort of get this, because the application is for everybody, for all of us who call Pacific home. And when I read this passage of Paul, I thought it was so appropriate for what I think God was calling me to speak to today. And, Brian's a magnificent preacher. And if I was to describe Brian as a preacher, he's an artist. And he paints wonderful pictures, and it's compelling, and it's beautiful, and it's inspiring. Drink from such a fountain, because God's blessed him with such a gift. But me, that's a whole other story. I'm an executive pastor. I'm like an urban planner. I get excited about making plans and talking about how we're going to get somewhere. And well, that's what you're going to get from me today. Because I think God has put us on a path here at Pacific, and over the last number of months, and we've been sort of driving into it in the last number of weeks through Brian's preaching, and today's my only shot to talk about what God's up to. And so I'm just going to give it all. And if the passion overflows, well, then it'll overflow. You'll just have to get what you can. But I want to start right out of this passage. I want to start right out of this passage. Because, and I'm going to try to click. If I forget to click, just say click, okay? And when we think about Paul, when we think of him, we think of somebody. Well, now I got to turn it on, though. And when we think of Paul, we see him as somebody who is really a great leader. One, it's because he has a clear mission. When we think of Paul the Apostle, this New Testament missionary, he's a person that just sort of, it was like he was just going in one direction. And if you couldn't keep up, well, you didn't keep up. He had a mission, and he went from city to city to do this mission of God. He had a clear commitment. He would give all of himself for such a task, and he had a clear impact. His influence touched cities around the Mediterranean, right to Rome itself. He had an influence on the empire. So when we think of Paul, we think of a leader, a compelling leader, a leader somebody we could look up to and perhaps model ourselves after. But what does Paul say about himself? Well, I'm unsophisticated. When I came to you guys, first the Corinthians, I didn't have very beautiful words. I didn't have the popular stuff going. I wasn't wearing bloodstones. I wasn't wearing, that cool shirt. Sorry, Jeff, that was a good one. Monica wants me to buy bloodstones too. But Paul came, and he was the unsophisticated one. He was a fearful one. Right in the text, he says, I'm afraid, I'm trembling. That this mission that God has put me on makes me afraid. And now I'm going to you, Corinth, and you saw it. I'm not only unsophisticated, I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of what's happening in the world. And I'm afraid what this mission means. And he's average. In his opinion, he's not like the wise people of the world. He couldn't talk at the academy, so to speak. He would not be shortlisted from the stack of resumes. He was unimpressive in his humble opinion. Which is really, I think, the point that I want to make today. Because as I open up a challenge for you guys, you're going to say, that's not me. I'm not gifted for that. That's not who I am. That's not me. That's a common phrase. That's not me. Was Paul? Would Paul have ever imagined himself to be the one God would use? It's interesting to me. Christians talk a lot about leadership. And they often think the Bible is one of the best books on leadership. A point can be made there. But you know what? I think the Bible is really about anti-leadership. It's not about people and their leadership at all. It's about people who are open to how God can use them. It's about the power of God using unsophisticated, fearful, and average people, chumps like you and me. When Paul describes his success, he puts it this way when you look at this text. He says, it's not my wisdom, but it's God's wisdom. I didn't come to the world with the world's best wisdom all summarized and figured out in a nice 3-point message. I came with God's wisdom. Not my words, but God's words. When I spoke, the mysteries of God were revealed because His Spirit was working in me and something was happening. Because I just preached Christ crucified, the story that people don't get. But when I've talked about that story and had it applied to the people's lives, things started happening. Because it was not my power, but God's power at work. So Paul, he was just a vehicle. He saw himself, I mean, he's the one who came out with this image, a broken vessel, a cracked vase. He was but nothing. And when he was at nothing, it was how God would use him. The unsophisticated, fearful, and average one, used by God to have a huge impact. That should encourage you. It encourages me. Because you know what we think we need to be? We think we need to be more than what we are in order to do what God wants us to do. When in fact, He doesn't need everything that you could do. He just needs you to say, I don't have the power. I don't have the words. I can't even figure out how to do this. All I know is God's calling me into this. And when all is said and done, it wasn't about Paul, it was about God. And wouldn't it be nice if at the end of our life, it might be said of us, it wasn't really about them, it was about God in them. So that's going to be the punch of the application. You unsophisticated, fearful, average ones who along with me really need God's power to work in you for God to do what He needs to do. Because I'm very excited about what I think God is at work here at Pacific. And so here, let me get into the meat of this passage. And here I'm going to just sort of talk to you about where this comes from. And what we believe God is up to here at Pacific Community Church. And like I said, it's more of a plan than a beautiful art of preaching here. It's more activist than contemplative, okay? If Brian's the contemplative, guess who I am? The activist. Now, the two are needed together. They should be in the same office. An activist without a contemplative would be a person who will burn out forgetting what it's all about. A contemplative without an activist, well, what's the saying? You're so heavenly minded that you're not really good. So there's dangers on either side. So as Brian preached, we need the places of quiet and solitude as we sort of be refreshed by God's Spirit so that in fact our energies might be energized well by the Spirit of God to do what God wants us to do. So again, you're getting an activist speaking. Is leaning away on the activist side today. You forgive me already? Okay, good. Well, here's what we've been up to at Pacific Community Church. And I want to take you through this. Because I think it's really important. Because the reason why I can preach about this so confidently is because this is really not my sermon. It's God's sermon that he's been shaping amongst us. So it's really your message. And so really my executive excitement is to draw you into this conversation that God has already been putting into place and calling you to get involved. Because, you know, one of the golden rules for me in terms of decision making is that everybody who experiences the consequence of a decision needs to participate in the decision. That makes sense? Do you hate it when somebody makes a decision for you and you have lived the consequence, but you haven't been able to get involved? That's just poor leadership. And it happens all the time. But when you make decisions and it impacts stakeholders, those stakeholders have a right to be participating at some level in this decision. So Pacific is on its way to live out four big things in the life of our church. And it involves you. The consequences are going to be on you and the leadership of the church. So you have a right to hear where this is coming from, and you have a right to say, that's a bunch of baloney. There's got to be another church somewhere. But your yes to this, which is why we're preaching it, is invited. Because we want to be busy about what God wants us to do. And so let me tell you how we got to this point, and let me unpack it. So here was the task. The board got a team of congregational members, staff members, and board members who were formed in early December, late December 2017, in December, and we started in January to start our work. The board believed that we had sort of lived out of our vision statements of 2015, I think, and now it needed to be refreshed. We had achieved some things, and we've learned some things, and so we needed a refreshment. And so this team was put together, and it involved a number of members from the congregation. Tim, who never showed up to our meetings, but he commented a lot. Where's Tim? Is Tim here today? Great guy, usually. And then Brian Kerr, Brady Scheckler, and Heidi joined the team. And then from the board, Glenn, Lisa, Callum, and then all of us pastors on the pastoral team all got together in one room. And then we worked through a process. And we did some heavy work, asking some serious questions. And this is the hard work. We had about 10 meetings at least, not to mention all the little meetings in between and the thinking and the challenging. Because when you sit down and say, how are things really going at Pacific? You have to ask the hard questions and be willing to say what you think. Which means the people in that room need to be able to absorb criticism or critique, challenge. Say, you know, we haven't done so well there, or this or that. So we did this together for 5 months. When we finally, and we went through this little 5A circle that I call it, where we're assessing, you know, how are things gone, attending, what is God up to, asserting, putting opinions on the table in terms of how we see things. And as we're doing this, my conviction is if we do this well, it's not just us at the table, it's God and by his Spirit. And as we are at the table, we're prayerfully engaging. God, what are you saying? What are you saying through the voices at this table? And then finally, after arguing about what we think is going on, we come to a place of agreement as to what is happening, as best as we can. And then out of that place of agreement, talk about actions that we could live into. Now, we're not perfect. And you can only spend so much time doing this stuff. So even if we're 60% pretty good at this, accurate, we'll be happy. Because we know we're going to keep on assessing and attending and moving forward. But what you get today is the best of what we got at this moment. Enough to make me really excited. And so we went through all kinds of feedback loops with the board, leadership, community on September. And there was just a rousing sense of energy around this and enthusiasm. And so we thought, let's go. Let's preach this one into this year. And so you could just imagine me sitting here as an executive type of guy who loves vision and mission processes and moving the church forward. As Brian's preaching about contemplativity, I'm like, oh, come on. Can I just preach this and talk about action? But anyways, that's all good. So that's who I'm wired to be. And I was excited about this sermon because I get to be like me in this sermon. And so we went through all these feedbacks, and now you're in the feedback loop. throwing it all at you, even you guests. Welcome here today. But there is one elephant in the room, though, right? We're into a big season of change here at Pacific. Why are you talking about mission and vision right in the context where we got to search for a new senior pastor in the next year or so? Well, that didn't stop the team, because it's really not about senior pastor. It's about who we are as a community. And perhaps God is already shaping for us the kind of person that we may become connected to in the future. And so some of you might think, it's time to rest and relax. You know, just sort of wait to see what happens. Or, by the Spirit of God, we start making things happen together as a community, living not aimlessly waiting, but living purposefully, even in this particular season. That's exciting to me. So let me explain these compass points, which we think can help us navigate today and the days ahead, and perhaps even to the long future. So let me explain these compass points. Now, we handed out a beautiful brochure about 6 weeks ago. Anybody remember these? Now, we're hoping that, you know, you took it home and you put it under your pillow. You got it on your coffee table. You got it slipped into your Bible. What we want is for you to live into this by praying into it, thinking about it, hearing it. And as you live in leadership or ministry here at Pacific, this begins to shape your imagination and how you understand how God may want us to grow. But let me explain, because there's four big strategic initiatives that we call the four points of our compass. And I'm going to take this from Jeff, because Jeff came up with, in a burst of charismatic enthusiasm, he came up with a beautiful way to express this. I should really get Jeff to come up here and do this, but it was such a good idea, I'm going to steal it. And so we believe there's four big things that God's calling us into. We spent the last number of weeks talking about the first one, everyone growing in Christ. And Jeff says, you know, that's like us reaching up. It's us reaching up to God and receiving all from God so that we might grow up into Him who is Christ, who is the head of the church, and we might become fully mature in Christ. So it's us growing. It's us reaching up. But the second one is this. It's belonging to community. Everyone belonging to Christ's community. Meaning, we've got a particular place for us to reside that where we can experience the fullness of Christ's community right where we're at here at Pacific. Reaching up, reaching down. Now, this second one is a big deal. It's the one we're supposed to talk about today. But we're not ready to talk about it today. Because if there's one weak one of these four that we really need to spend time on, it's this one. And even at our most recent pastoral meeting where we're talking about how do we do community, we all came to the conclusion that we're not ready to talk about it because we have no idea what we're talking about. We have some good expressions, and we're so encouraged by some of the men's things and the women's things and the Emmaus groups that are happening. But we know that people fundamentally find it a challenge to find community at Pacific. And it's a burden on our hearts, and we're trying to say, how do we address this? And we know we need to get our leadership team on the same page, understanding the issue and saying, how are we going to live this one out? So you're going to have to give us some time. That's something you can pray into. We just know it's a strategic initiative, and we've got to do something about it, but we're sort of figuring it out. So that's a confession. And for those of you that are struggling to find community and friendship here, we understand. And it's a burden on our heart, and we want to address that. And you can pray into that for us. The third one, which is the one I'm going to spend time on, is, you know, after reaching up and being rooted, you reach out. Sharing Christ's story. Everyone sharing Christ's story. I'm going to spend all my next of the time on that one. But the other one, the fourth one, is everyone loving their neighbor. reaching up, being rooted, belonging to Christ's community, everyone sharing Christ's story, and everyone loving their neighbor. Now, everyone loving their neighbor is a big one for us. If there's one big one that's really strong, it's this one. Because we have tried to live as a church loving our neighbors by feeding them, by getting involved in the issues of our community, and that's just taken a run. And in fact, we think we need to grow in that and mature in that, and we're doing some exciting things for that. But we're going to talk about that another day in the upcoming weeks. But right now, I want to talk about this arm. Everyone sharing Christ's story. Now, did you notice something about these four statements, which is what these banners are really about? Every person growing in Christ, every person belonging to Christ's community, every person sharing Christ's story, every person loving their neighbor. Did you catch the common theme here? We believe this is for everyone. We believe all of us can be involved in all four things. In fact, we have a sense that this is a beautiful expression, at least at this time for us in our life, of what it means to be Christian. People who are growing in Christ, who are belonging to community, who are sharing the story, and who are loving their neighbors. We think this is a beautiful expression of what it means to be Christian in our world today. And if we as a church, as pastoral leaders, and as a people of community of this community, work together on these things, we may in fact take steps towards the maturity of our community so it more reflects all of who God is. You can see why I get so excited about this? Because I think this is a call for everyone. But not just everyone here. But we believe every person, not only in this church, but outside of the church, would be amazing new created human beings if they grew in Christ. And so what we want to be as a church is a place where people can come and grow and just have their lives just changed and transformed in Christ. This is the beautiful picture. We want everybody to come. Everybody belonging to community, because we know when they're in community, they're going to experience you and Christ in you and grow with you. Every person, you know, sharing their story. We know and we believe every single person has a story who is baptized in Christ. Why? Because you know what was before and what it is because you were baptized and how Christ has been shaping you. You have a story, and it's not just your story, it's God's story in you. And you have a story to tell in your own way. And you need to be talking about it at home with your friends, that person sitting on the bus. You have a way to talk, and some of that talk comes through deeds. And every person loving their neighbor. I can get excited about this. I can take all day to talk about this, but you won't listen all day, but that's fine. I'll carry on here, because here's the challenge. And this is what was so exciting, because one of the goals of number three, everyone sharing their story, is we know not everybody's an evangelist, but can we as a church be evangelistic? And one of our one goals in this, it was a very easy one. As we sat in the team together, as we reflected with the board and the leadership teams and all that kind of stuff, we said, you know what would be really great is if we could do Alpha once again at Pacific. I mean, we used to do it. And that would be a great goal, but it's so much work. And it was on our table. I should really keep flipping here. And, I missed all my good slides. This is the brochure. You should have it under your pillow, because there it is. And there's the four things. So, all that work. Thanks, Ian. Just blame Ian. Because we believe that we need to do what God calls us to do. Because we are a witness. and everybody can tell their story. And so I just remember, that was in the summer, we were getting ready for this, for September, and an attendee to our church, a recent attendee, maybe been here about 6 months or so. And I owe you $5 because now I'm going to use you, Arthur. And Arthur sends Brian and I an email asking the question, hey, you guys ever think about Alpha? You know God is up to something when you've been thinking about it and somebody from the outside asks you and you say, ah, there's some resonance. Because the Spirit always never works through one person, but through multiple plural type of situations. And then you can sort of sense what the Spirit is saying. And all of a sudden, which was a really bad email by Arthur, really, when you think about it, because the typical executive pastor does exactly what I do. That is a great idea, but we don't have a leader. How about you? And so one thing led to the next. And in January of this year, with a fully finished, renovated place where we can welcome people, we are going to host Alpha once again. And Arthur has been leading a team of about 8 people, and that's going to grow, but you're going to learn all the details later. It's not about Alpha today, really. But it's an opportunity for us as a church to let the power of God work through us so that people who don't know Christ may find a welcome, hospitable place to explore the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's really exciting that we can do this. And I believe God has put it on our docket. And in fact, next week we have the national director of Alpha preaching to us. And Shayla Vischer is going to be here, and you'll love her, as everybody does, because she has such a heart of evangelism and helping churches. And so we invited her to speak in and fan the flames of what we think God is calling us into in this third one of everyone sharing the gospel, everyone sharing Christ's story. And here's the challenge I want to give to you today, because this is how I want to land. Because you are all witnesses, and every one of you should be involved in some way. Here's how you can be involved. Very simple. I'll go back to that. I want you to pray. In fact, I want you right now to pray for the success of Alpha, but I particularly would like to invite you to pray for 3 people. 3 people, family, friends, coworkers. This is the only outcome that I have for you this today is for you to seriously say, God, you are at work in our church. You want us as a church to reach people by telling the gospel, sharing the story. You have put Alpha into place, and we would love to see we would love to see people come. Could you pray for 3 people? Could you potentially, 3 people who are outside of the church, maybe on the margins of the church, maybe struggling with church, and you pray for them and ask God to give you what it takes to invite them into Alpha in January? Could you do that? I believe that's what God's calling us to do. Because this is not just about running a program. It's not about putting nice videos together so that people are, wow, that's cool. Nikki is a pretty cool dude. And wow, this is sort of fancy. And this is a great explanation of the gospel. It's not about the good food that we're going to put on the tables. It's about the power of God sort of pouring out upon the lives of people that God wants to redeem. And them experiencing and encountering God through just the kind of activity that we put our energies into. Trusting that God will do something. Because as Paul says, it's not going to be our wisdom, but God's wisdom that makes something happen. It's not my words, but God's words. It's not my power, but God's power. To be able to pray for 3 people and asking God to show up, to lead the team, to make it happen. So, These four things are profound ways that we can live together as a church in these next days. And for you to participate at every level in some way. We're not asking you to get your lives really busy, but you can live out these ways of life where you go. And if God puts it on your heart, and he will, think of three names, one to three names, and pray for them. And draw from the wisdom of God, draw from the words of God, and draw from the power of God to do what he puts on your heart. Amen? Let's pray.